Good morning. This podcast is brought to you by Midway Motion and Fitness, located behind Midway Theaters. Midway Motion and Fitness is a community of people who are active, accepting, caring, and motivating. Members of all ages and abilities move, exercise, heal, and build. We don't all have the same goals, but we have the same health and wellness home. Midway Motion and Fitness, locals enjoy a 7-visit free pass, open 24 hours to members, and staffed from 5 a.m. to 8 p.m., weekdays and 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. on weekends. MidwayFitness.com. 3, 2, 1. What's up, brother?
What's going on? Thanks for having me.
Christian Moore back on the Rehoboth Social Podcast.
Yes, but not for work this time, more for...
No, but can I just mention right now, because this just happened, but we got a new sponsor. So this podcast is also brought to you by Motto Mortgage.
Motto Mortgage. Yes.
Damn it, Motto. It's a setup. It's a setup for me to screw it up.
It's okay.
Motto Mortgage.
Motto. Like a motto of it, like a slogan.
I love it. Yeah. And that's, you guys are located right next door.
Right next door.
So you just surprised that on me. And I was like, you know, it makes my heart kind of, you know, feel good.
Yeah.
Because then I just told you, you know, you just have to keep working, right? And then eventually people just start believing in you.
That's right. I believe that.
Well, listen, thank you. So that you're not coming as Motto Mortgage guy today. You are Christian Moore, the comedian.
Yes, I am. I can finally say.
I love the story because you shared the story with me. Actually, you kind of were like, listen, I'm thinking about doing a comedic act. How would you say that? A comedic act.
Yeah, just going up, getting up there.
Yeah, doing some stand-up.
Doing it, right.
And I was like, dude, go for it. You know, I mean, that's sometimes it's only just need one person just to kind of push you a little bit, right?
You were one of the catalysts. Yep. I always wanted to do it, but then I just needed somebody to say, you know what, just go do it.
Well, I would love to be a comedian. I would love to do that.
I think anybody would.
Well, I think some people just think they're funny.
Yeah.
I've met
a few of those people.
Not sure everybody does, but I think it's not even to me about the being funny, because obviously and clearly that is important, but it's just the freedom, you know? It's like being 15 and dancing at a dance party, right? Or at a school dance. You know,
exactly.
We all stood around the outside of the, against the wall because we were all too scared. And, but you know, eventually we get out there and we realized all the fun we were missing.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was a pretty cool experience.
So do you want to share the story, the journey to your stand-up debut?
Yeah, sure. I always wanted to do it. I just really like entertaining people.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always wrote comedy, and I keep it to myself for like 5 years.
Wow.
And I just never had the balls to go up and do it.
Yeah.
And then you get a little older and you stop worrying about what people think as much. And I just wanted to do it more than anything. And then once I got up there, I felt comfortable. It was fine.
Well, you know, and I have mentioned this podcast was inspired by Joe Rogan. I loved his freedom. I loved his ability to just do it, you know, where the other 9 people are like, I don't know. I just don't know. And he's like, well, whatever. We'll just do it.
You got to go for it.
You just got to go for it. But he's also a stand-up comedian.
I've seen his stuff. He just had Artie Lang on there. You see that one?
Oh, yeah.
How good was that?
Dude, I watch all. Artie Lang is a great. And that's kind of funny that you brought that up, because if you look back, Artie Lang was on 4 years ago. In the depths of his addiction and his struggle and his depression, you know, still, you know, a comedian, but, you know, struggling and just unhappy. And then to have him back on recently, because now, you know, if people don't know this, Artie Lang is now sober.
You can tell by looking at him that he's sober.
Oh, my God.
His face looks clear. You can tell a lot by looking at somebody's face.
Oh, my God. He's bright.
Yep.
He looks clear. And, you know... Well, his nose doesn't look so good.
Well, that's irreparable without surgery.
Well, and he said, he goes, "Who, you know, are you going to get your nose fixed?" And he goes, "Eh, kind of. I think about it, but then he goes, at the same time, it's a reminder of, you know, where I ended up."
Exactly. If he resets it, then he might go back to his old ways.
And I, you know, and we'll keep this about comedians, but I will, if I could share just a little bit. You know, I relate a lot to that because. I didn't get sober until I got punched in the face and I had stitches and I was embarrassed and ashamed and full of guilt. And that was the deciding factor with me deciding to quit drinking.
I quit drinking all the time. Happy, not every day, like, you know how the joke goes, but right there with you. I mean, I haven't drank in a couple of weeks. Every couple of months, I'll take a month off.
Yeah.
Just to know that I can do it, to make sure I'm healthy. I got a kid. So I've been there. I've been right with, I understand.
Well, I took 20 years off.
Oh, so you're 20 years.
Well, I got sober in 97. I drank after 7 years because I deserved it. At least that's what I told myself.
Right.
Got sober again. Changed my sobriety date again because I had a back injury and it said one. I took three.
Of course.
So I had to address that. So
I've been there
had to change my sobriety date again. So God willing, and in the creek don't rise, I'll celebrate 10 years in December.
Good for you.
Well, I always say good for everybody else. I quit just out of the safety of the rest of the world. Because I was a drunk driver.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. I would be like, I am not drinking and driving. I'm going to... I'd be like, I am not drinking. And then the next thing, well, maybe I'll just have a beer. And then I'm like, why am I bothering with this beer? Let's go right to the vodka. And then I'm like, I am not driving. And next thing you know, I'm down at the rudder.
Yep.
So I had to shut that down. It was just a mess. And I apologize to the whole world for my behavior.
Well, we forgive you.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
So we started the podcast once, and I said, 1, 2, 3, tell me a joke. And you said, uh-uh. Are you ready now?
Oh, boy.
Well, listen, I can
tell you how they form.
Well, and you know that, so I look back and I think, I'd love to be a comedian because, you know, I can have a conversation with somebody and be witty and funny and create some giggles. And I think, oh, well, that's comedy, right? But really, it's about writing. And I learned a lot of that through the podcast with Joe Rogan. He'll write down stories. And I guess that's what creates his bits.
Well, let me tell you how one forms that I'm working on. And it just happened last weekend. So let me pull up my Facebook chat here. So I get a friend request from somebody in my town. It's a young kid. He's probably 21, 22. And so I accept, you know, because I'm trying to build my presence. And,
your audience.
And, I think I'm a nice guy. So sure. Yeah, let me friend.
You're a great guy.
And then he says, and I hope he's not listening. Because I don't know, he's just a little off. He says, thanks. Like, I guess thanks for adding. He messages me. I said, no problem. Have a great weekend. Hoping that's it. Then he says, thanks, bro. I'll try, but I can't promise. Been kind of down lately. And I'm like, why are you telling me this?
Uh-oh.
I don't know you. And then I'm thinking to myself, oh, boy, I have to respond, you know, because I assume he's going to kill my whole family if I don't.
Right.
And then I think that's pretty funny. You know, he puts me in this awkward situation where now I feel obligated to respond to someone who is just laying it all out to me who doesn't even know me.
Absolutely.
And I think those kind of things are just.
So what'd you say?
I said, that's all you can do. You know,
how about cheer up, buttercup?
I'm trying to stay positive, he says. And I said, that's all you can do. And then I see the little thing where it shows they're typing.
The bubble.
And I'm like, oh boy, here we go. I just want to disengage here. And then it stopped. Oh. And he didn't send anything. So, thank God.
Well, that happens to me. And I think it happens to all of us. And it is weird because you just don't, you know, you start thinking about it. Like, if I don't respond, am I an asshole?
Exactly.
If I just one word, what's he going to think? I'm the worst with understanding what a text means. Like, I'm not really
out of context. Yeah, you don't know.
I can't even. If it starts to go into a couple more, you know, back and forth, I have to call him.
Right. And what if me being positive to this guy kept him from doing something really rash?
True. You know? So a joke was created out of that?
Well, I'm working on it, but
okay.
It's just stuff like that. I think is just nobody shares that kind of stuff, and it's just stuff that everyone goes through. I've been on the other side, I've been on his side. When you go through something really tough in life, you tend to do things that are out of character like that. So obviously he's going through some stuff if he's ready to lay it on the line for me, who we haven't even met. So.
Well, and a lot of people have kind of like an auto response.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've met this guy, his name's Jay, and he's actually coming on the podcast next week, and he fixes computers. And I had called this company, and I was like, you know, I need to get a computer fixed. You go call this guy. And actually, don't even call him. Send him a message through Facebook. And I was like, wow. So I tried to call him. Of course, I'm old school. I dialed. No answer. Left a message. I hit him up on the messenger, and I sent a message right away. There's an auto response. You know, I could tell. You know, hey, thanks for texting, da-da-da. But then I ended up texting. He texted me right back. Ended up coming to my house, fixing the computer. I was like, that was... I guess that's just the age we live in.
I'm used to being on the phone, obviously, because of my job, but I wonder if my job wasn't what it is, you know, for 7 years, if I would be more like that. Because I have customers who are younger than me. They want to text. They don't want to talk on the phone.
Right.
It's really interesting.
So Joe Rogan, you know, he'll talk about how he hangs out at the Comedy Store because mm-hmm. they're all out in L.A. and out in Hollywood and stuff. They hang out at the Comedy Store or just laughs or whatever the local comedy club is and just, you know, they'll kind of hang out. And then if there's an opening, they'll get put on and do, I don't even know what a typical 15 minutes, 20 minutes.
Mine was, I did 7 minutes.
Oh,
they
you did seven.
They told me to do seven. I did 6:51.
Okay. So is there a place around here? Do we... There's not really a comedy store around here.
No, I was looking online, and I saw Rehoboth Beach Ale House, and my wife, her best friend's friend, Ashley Ruark. I don't know if you ever heard of her. She's a singer around here. So,
she's good.
I asked her about it, and she turned
Does
me
she have
on
the
to
Farrah
it.
Fawcett hair?
I think so. Yeah.
Oh yeah, she's great.
Yeah, blonde. Yeah, she's awesome. So, I
that
went.
That reminds
she
me.
She hosted it.
We should reach out to her.
Yeah, and. So she did a little, and there was a host. And
so where is the Rehoboth Ale House?
Right on Baltimore, one okay. over from the main drag.
Okay.
Right near the water.
First block, second block?
The first block.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So it was like 10 o'clock at night. There was only like, I don't know, seven comedians or something like that. And then there was probably 10 just bystanders. You know, some people paying attention, some not. It was more of like a support group than, like I thought there was going to be a lot of judgment, but everyone was encouraging. Everyone was like, oh no, what do you got? And I feel like more people are like the comedians are more so like self-involved, so they're not even paying attention as much as you want them to. They're more thinking about themselves,
right?
It seems like. I mean, I definitely made a conscious effort to hold on to every word I could of everybody.
So were you freaking out?
Not really. I had a few beers.
Okay.
But I'd
prepared, so that's when you quit.
I'd prepared so much that I was good.
Well, and I think that's the trick, right?
Yeah.
Well, and you know, you'll hear these comedians, they'll say, you know, they'll do, because I guess, you know, in the big city, you may do a couple sets a night, mm-hmm. or you might even do three sets, right?
I think so.
That's yeah, they, you know, so they could do more. And Joey Diaz is always a guest on Rogan, and he's like, I went into my second set, and then I forgot. I started saying the jokes over that I had said in the first set, because I had forgotten, and they're like, set it! You know, and they started getting some hecklers. So I guess, yeah. You know, one set is not bad, but when you start getting into multiple sets, you really got to have a good routine.
I want to experience that. I don't want it to be like a support group. I'm going on Wednesday to do it again.
Oh, are you?
And in
so
Ocean
wait,
City.
Wait a minute. Okay, wait a minute. Hold on. Let's announce that. This Wednesday?
I'll have to let you know later. I forget what the place is called. I'm going, darn it. But what I was getting at is I'm not preparing this time.
You're like not going to tell us where it's
will,
at, are
I
you?
I will. let me look. I'm not going to prepare, though. I have some ideas, and I want to feel more uncomfortable, and I'm going to do it to myself. I'm going to.
Well, okay.
I mean, I'll be a little prepared, but okay. Not as word for word as I was.
I almost started giving you advice.
Yeah.
I like the idea of a little prepared.
I want to bomb a little bit, if you know, just to feel it, because the first time went all right, so I don't know.
Well, I think that's where we grow.
Yeah.
You know, when we go, wow. But I think you might come out of it and say, I should focus on being prepared.
You're probably right.
Well, that in itself.
This is for me, though.
Maybe you could be like, hey, you know, I didn't prepare tonight because I want to feel like what it is to bomb.
Exactly.
Okay, I felt it.
I'm not going to say that, but there's some topics where it's just like, look at the topic, maybe look at my hand, I have something written, and then I'm just, go on it, you know, versus like, I know every word, I'm a robot, but you don't know that. You know,
is there anything that's off limits?
No. I mean, you've heard my stuff. I like to talk about racism, sexuality, religion, anything, just whatever is
politics.
I mean, I don't really care that much about, I know this, some people don't like to hear this, but I don't get into politics too much.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't excite me that much.
Well, and that's fine, but I just didn't know, you know, sometimes, especially politics, it can be such a hot topic. You know, I didn't know if you...
I mean, I would. I mean, I have one that I think would be funny. Would be, you know, remember ChristianMingle.com for the Christians?
Yeah.
You know, what do you think those dates are like? You know, the guy says to the girl, like, hey, how do you think Trump's doing? And she's like, oh, I don't mingle about that. I only mingle about the New Testament.
Oh. Well, I just saw, we were just, that's funny because I was, we were just watching some comedian. He's like, what'd he say? The Catholic religion. A whole religion based on a woman that just stuck to her story.
Yeah.
Come on, you're supposed to laugh. That was funny.
I know I'm supposed to laugh, and it is funny, but I feel uncomfortable, so I like it wouldn't come out. Because I know I'm supposed to laugh. That's how that works.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
it was forced, so you backed out.
When I know I'm supposed to laugh, I have a hard time doing it.
I had a joke, and Carlos was on the other day because he's like, I got a good joke. I think he thinks he could be a comedian too, but I was like, yeah, I used to think I was a cool guy until I hung out with someone just like me.
That's pretty good. And he realized, not that cool.
I'm not that cool.
I just found out he was Filipino. Like 5 seconds ago, Achilles told me.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. I saw Achilles was right next door.
Is everybody over there eating?
He's just hanging out. No, next Amato, he was in there with the owner.
Oh, was he?
Hanging out, yeah.
Well, I pulled up this morning. So we had a new restaurant open.
Oh, yeah.
Good Morning Breakfast Nook. Delicious.
It was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, people are like, oh, I hope it's going to make it. I think it'll make it.
It was packed in there this morning when I couldn't find a parking spot.
What it made is me park down there and have to walk a half a mile.
Exactly. Last time we were talking about how we park a little bit over to the right to let the customers have room. Now, it's the Wild West.
You know where I park.
Yep.
I park as far as I don't park as far as I can, but I've always thought that.
Well, now you don't have a choice.
No, and that's good, man. If someone's here spending money, they should have the best spots.
I think so.
And it's great to see. I love the couple. I've met the husband and the wife. They're both super nice.
Yeah.
The food's delicious. The Carlos, who's the waiter over there with the long hair, mm-hmm. he was the waiter at Crystal Cafe for years.
Where is that? Is that on the strip there?
When you're going down into Rehoboth on the right.
Yep, the red awning.
I think it's a blue awning.
I've had Bloody Marys there after a long night in the morning. So.
Well, that's where I got sober.
Oh, really?
Well, at one time, next door was Mulligan's.
Okay.
And I lived back behind there in a one-bedroom apartment that my uncle owned.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my uncle, the slumlord.
That seems pretty conducive to drinking.
Well,
one-bedroom apartment right next to a bar.
Yeah, and it was nice. And you know, the worst part is I would drive there. So stupid.
I know a funny drunk driving story.
Okay.
It's funny after time, like it gets funnier, but I have a friend who told me that his neighbor drove to a bar. It was about 200 yards away. Got wasted, drove home, got out of his car, walked up to put his key in the door, and that's when he got the DUI, right when he was putting his key in his front door to go in. So for some reason, they got him. I was like, why didn't you just go in the house? But they like saw that he was in his car.
Because drunk people have to say stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I remember drinking there, mm-hmm. driving home, passing out, waking up, and with this memory of running over something. You know, this memory of going da-dum, you know, something. And I'm like, oh my God, I hope I didn't run over somebody. I mean, it was like, it was real. You know, I couldn't remember. I just remember ka-gunk. So I was like, well, okay. So I got out. I started walking down the street back towards the bar, and I found a parking, you know, the concrete things that you park against. I guess I just went right over it.
Oh, yeah. And it's funny you say that because in college, my roommate and I, we would go late night to Checkers, like 3 a.m. Obviously, we're not supposed to be driving either. And
right.
One morning we woke up. We're like, dude, do you remember like hitting something last night? So we went back out to the car to go to breakfast, right? To go straight in his car, he had to turn the wheel all the way to the left. That's how messed up the axle was.
Oh, my God.
So, but right there with you, it was like, did we hit something?
Well, and that's where a lot of funny stories come from, right? Drinking.
How much time do you have?
Oh, we got an hour. back in the day when I first moved here, like 95, mm-hmm. I moved here in 94, but like 95, we used to do Love See Mama Jump and play at the Rudder. On Thursday nights. I think they still may in the summer.
I mean, when I lived here in 2010, right in Dewey, they were playing.
Yeah. They've been playing the whole time. Mm-hmm. But I used to go down there, and I was, you know, I didn't give a shit. So drinking, carrying on. And back then, it's gone now. I think there's a hotel. But there used to actually be a Rudder parking lot. And it wasn't that little one. It was the big one to the left. And I came out and went down between all the cars and just went right off the curb out into the... to the Route 1. I thought it was an exit. I just went right off.
That's a real laugh right there.
Yeah, right off the sidewalk. Cagoosh. I was like, oh, make it left.
And
make it right.
You didn't get caught?
I didn't get caught.
Good for you, because I lived there the whole summer in 2010, and I did not drive once. And again, I don't usually have an issue, like I can manage, but I did not risk it because you can get a DUI for anything there. It's crazy. So you're very lucky.
Well, I have had a DUI. I get that, and I didn't quit drinking after that, in fact. But I got that coming over the bridge, leaving Dewey, and state cop was sitting on the backside of the bridge, just kicking it. And I borrowed my dad's Trans Am, and I came over that bridge probably going 80. Yeah. And I saw the cop. I was like, oh, brother. And I got a DUI. That was a long, long time ago.
What'd you blow? Any idea?
Like a .1.
Oh, God.
Right. It wasn't.
Give me a break.
Right. It was, you know, I wasn't wasted, but I was definitely, you know, I think I was drinking Goldschlager.
Oh, well, you deserve it then.
Yeah, I was ingesting gold.
Yes, you were. That's very expensive.
Well, it's basically scope, right?
I saw this guy get a DUI in Philadelphia on the news, and when he looks at the camera, he's like, breathalyzers are biased alcoholics, basically, because he's fine in his own mind, but, you know, he's at a .01, and as you know, if you get in a good bender, .01 or .1,
it's just starting.
You appear to be not drunk, probably, right, at that point.
Well, you're witty.
Yeah.
You know, you're clever,
you're fine.
You're funny, you know.
In your mind, you're good.
Right. Well, I guess, you know, I just read the other day somebody just got her 7th. I'm like, jeez.
You should be in jail for that, for sure. The record, by the way, I did look it up a couple of years ago. Me and my friends were looking it up. Like 28 in Minnesota, I believe. Somebody got 28.
28 DUIs?
They're just so polite up there that they're just like, you know, I believe you. You're not going to do it again.
They probably still give you a ride home up in Minnesota.
Exactly.
Well.
You betcha.
Listen, I could have had 1,000. So I'm not judging on 28 because, listen, I just didn't get caught.
Right.
I was a total douchebag when it came to that kind of stuff.
Sure.
So is there like a big comedy club anywhere around here, or is it just like, do we have to go all the way to Philly or DC?
Yeah, you got to go to Philly. You got to go to Wilmington, kind of, but really Philly's where you want to go. You want to send in, like my wife recorded. And obviously, I sent you my stand up stuff.
I'm gonna can we put a link to that in the description?
Yeah, I don't see why not. I'll send that. I might do another recording just because it was my first time, obviously brush it up a little bit and send it, try to get it into a club where there's actual people, not comedians, you know.
So when you did it down in Rehoboth, mm-hmm. and you said there were 7 of you?
Yeah, I think around 7.
So is there like a kind of a population of comedians down here that just don't have a place to be funny? Because now I'm thinking, should we open a comedy club?
Oh, no. There's not enough people.
There's not enough
market. There's a bunch of rich old people here, you know. I just, like I told you, I went on Facebook and I have some friends that I know, or, you know, I looked at Ashley's thing and I talked to her and then I just followed direction, and that's what I'm doing again on Wednesday. And in Ocean City, looks like there's a bigger turnout there, so that's what I want. I just want more pressure, you know. Ready for the pressure.
You might inspire me.
I had a really exciting, teen and, college, and now I'm settled down, married, kid. I crave that excitement. I got to find a way to do it without destroying my body.
Where do you find most of your inspiration?
Oh, boy. Just.
I know you have a new child. I mean, that's always funny.
Yeah.
The fact of giving up the life that we had to the life that we're going to have now that we have a child is always pretty funny.
Just everyone is going through something.
Right.
So, I just take the darkest stuff, and try to make it funny.
Some of the funniest things that I can, some of the funniest things that I think about today are really just how a lot of the shit that I put my parents through.
Yeah.
I'm starting to go through.
Yeah.
With my
kids. I bet.
You know, I always say if it has batteries, I'm losing it. If I really love it, it's getting a dent in it.
Sure.
I used to race BMX. I had a BMX bike. My kids decided they were going to go riding the bikes the other day. They call me, oh, your bike got stolen. What?
I've been there.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, my God. You've had one of your bikes?
Yeah.
That your kid was on?
Not with my kid, but
right.
I'm saying when I was.
Well, I'm just saying that, you know, now, you know, when my dad, like, we would jump on the hood of my dad's car, put a dent in it. He's like. We'd hit hard balls at the garage door, put dents in the garage door. It's like, you know, just these little things, these constant kicks in the nuts.
Yep.
And I'm starting to go through them. You know, my bike got stolen. Then I have one more bike. My one son's like, can I borrow the bike? I'm going to drive over to my buddies. I was like, fine. I go pick him up. The back tire is bent. Like, it's bent like it's not rideable. I'm like, does this end? Flashlight's gone. Every battery, like I buy big packs of batteries, all gone. I don't know where the batteries go. It's
put my parents through hell. So,
well, yeah, that's.
I'm ready for it.
So get out your pencil and out your paper because this is where all the jokes lie.
I go for walks and it just comes out and I just write it down and I go from there. That's it.
I think when we start to even start to exercise, try to eat right, I think there's a lot of comedy in there.
Yeah. No, I just go for walks, listen to music, and then I'll just type on my little notepad and some stuff. I'll go back a day later. I'm like, that's not funny. And then some stuff I'll be like, yeah, and then I'll share it with my dad or my friends, and they'll be like, no, that sucks, or that's pretty good.
So a lot of your jokes or a lot of your thoughts really start from a story, and then what is it, just the way you present it, how you leave them hanging, the pause? I mean, how do you create? Because, you know, you can't make a joke out of everything. No. It's really storytelling.
Yeah, I like to lead people in one direction and then shock them, you know? Basically, I don't know. Do you remember listening to any of my stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
I think the first thing I led with was how Rehoboth is just not a racist. It's like the least racist place.
Right.
That's not offensive.
No.
But, and then I thought to myself, what is something that's like the opposite of racist? And it was like a white person crossing the street to... You know, they see a black person on the other side of the road across the street to their side, other than, you know, and then you hear racists walking, crossing the street the other way. And I was like, Rehoboth is a place where that would happen.
Right.
And that's not funny in itself. But then I think I closed with the guy was so moved by that gesture that he actually considered not robbing the guy. So, yeah, it's offensive, but you got to take him on that roller coaster of is this going to be offensive or not?
Do you have to worry about that, do you think?
No, I don't. Because you're stupid if you think, if you take it seriously.
Right. I mean, I think when you're a comedian, it's all, it's all kind of free reign, right? I mean, we all know that if we're going to see a comedian, it's comedy. It's not personal.
That's the big thing right now in comedy is all the comedians are talking about that. Like, they have to keep explaining, don't be offended by this, don't be offended by this. I'm just going to put it out there. I'm not going to apologize for anything, and... You shouldn't. It's supposed to be funny. Don't go into it with a filter. And that's, if I hear anything now, I'm so programmed to, is it okay for this to be, I shouldn't have to ask myself.
Well, when we even doing this podcast, I'll talk about stuff and then I'll be at home or I'll be, laying in bed, going to bed, and I'll think, oh, should I have said that? Is that going to be taken the wrong way? Because it wasn't supposed to be.
If people can't look through it, then... That's on them.
Well, luckily, I haven't had any trouble. Yeah. Well, it's funny because Rehoboth, I feel like we kind of do live in a bubble. You know, there's not
a
lot
of... This is the best. It's the best here.
It's great, but it's not really kind of the real world.
No. You can be anything you want here. Everyone's just so cool with everything, and that's why I like it.
We have, a huge gay population.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's here. We're all cool with it.
7% is the average place. Here, it's got to be, 20%?
Yeah, 20%, maybe even more.
Yeah, probably.
And it's been great to live in a place like this because I can tell you when I first moved here, I had, hang-ups about gay people, but I think it was just because what I had heard.
Sure.
Like, I didn't really have my own personal opinion. I just, we don't like gay people. Okay, we don't like, but some of the best people, some of my best friends are gay.
Oh, my best friend in college came out to me.
Yeah, and it's like.
And I was like, I don't care.
Why hate?
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, it's so silly.
Not a lot of people know that, but because I don't go around telling people, because it's not a big deal.
Right. Well, I do. I like I said, I really, regardless if it's funny, well, we better hope it's funny, but I love the story. It's always, I ran into a guy last night at the grocery store and he's like, I go, what are you up to? And he goes, I don't know. Ah, I'm just, clearly doing something, but not what he wishes he could do. Getting stuck in the whatever it is.
You can't have that.
Yeah, and I'm like, what do you want to do, man? What can I help you with anything? Oh, I don't know. I'm working on a couple things. And I'm like.
Remember that Shia LaBeouf video where he's like, just do it. I don't know if you've seen it. You look like you haven't seen it, but basically, that's
that,
not
was
what
Was that the I haven't seen
me.
It face?
Yeah. But basically, he just looks at the camera and he's like, do it. Like, well, basically, he's telling everybody to just don't worry about it.
He's a bit of a mess, though.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying that inspired me, but that's how I feel. I mean, we're all going to be dead one day, and none of it's going to matter. So just do whatever you want.
Well, you have an idea of what you want to do, and then you have all of your thoughts about it, and then they just start undermining it. It's not
and
a good idea.
Even if it doesn't work, at least you got to try it. Otherwise, you're going to live in regret forever.
Well, so. You did it, and now you want to go. I remember you're like, God, I don't want to bomb, and now you want to go bomb somewhere.
Yeah, because it went better than I thought. I mean, it was. I thought it was all right.
I think that should be part of the joke.
All right, so let's set this up. What do you think?
Well, thanks for having me. This is my second time out. The last time I did so well, I thought this time I would come and try to bomb.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that.
That's funny.
I think when I went up, part of it was cut off. I had my – you're not supposed to – if you're a pro, you're not supposed to bring your material up and read from it. But everyone who's an amateur, you know, like will read off their phone or look at notes or whatever. So I told him, I said, this isn't my material. This is a suicide note in case things don't go well.
Right.
They thought that was funny.
That's good.
Obviously, it wasn't, but
well, I mean, you know,
it was my material.
It is a, I don't know. I went down the rabbit hole with this, is it Greg Girardi? Is he the one that passed away, overdosed? Greg Girardi? He was the comic.
Artie Lang. We just talked about him.
Yeah, well, he was the guy that did all the roasts.
Yeah, exactly.
And, oh, my God. Basically, it was kind of like a documentary on him and these roasts and these people that would get roasted. Yeah. And there was the one girl's like, you know, I'm trying to keep a positive face, but he's like tearing me a new one.
They're so good at it. Jeff Ross is so, I think his name's Jeff Ross.
Yeah, he with the dreads. He has the little micro
How
braids.
Awesome is he? He just can come in here and he could just ruin your day, basically.
Well, they're all Sarah Silverman. They're all funny. But he had a. Flavo Flav.
Oh, yeah.
And they were roasting him. He goes, Flavo Flav, you look like you've been wrapped in electrical tape with teeth.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, my God. And Flavo Flav is just laughing.
Oh, yeah, you know, that's all you
he
can
He was
do.
A good
Did
spirit.
Did you see Caitlyn Jenner? They were just destroying Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah, and apparently.
And she did good.
Well, and apparently, though, because I heard some backstory on that, is that there were some things that were off limits. The car accident, because she had been in that car accident and killed someone, and apparently that was off limits.
Well, if anybody can make things off limits, I think that's a good person.
Well, I don't really think that's even fair, but it was like, hey, if you don't do that, I'll walk.
I see. I think I would have said, Caitlin, why would you only want to make 76 cents on the dollar for what you used to make? Obviously, because women make less, you know.
Oh,
that's what I would have said. I know, it's messed up.
That's harsh.
Yeah, but I would have. Like, why would you want to take that pay cut this late in life? You must have saved some money.
Have you thought, do you do anything on your social media?
Not yet, haven't got there. Just getting my feelers out. Like I said, just done it once, going for my second times this week, so.
Because there's a lot of really brilliant comedians that do, you know, they basically have a whole career just doing Instagram.
Yeah, I've seen, I've been scrolling through and seen some stuff like that.
Do you know the guy that does the face swap, but he does like Caitlyn Jenner and Donald Trump?
No.
Oh, I have to find his name. He's hysterical. But the guy, he must spend a week doing these clips, these 30-second clips. But he's like, you know, he does the Donald Trump version, but the face is swapped. It's hysterical. But to me, it would seem like that would be, like, I don't know how. Do one joke a day on it. I don't know. I'm not sure what.
Yeah,
that's
tough
that would
to
work.
Be creative like that. Right now, I'm more of just. I like the. I don't know what the word. The art of it of just the words basically.
So how do you separate yourself from, model Chris, to comedian Chris?
I don't really. I'm always myself. You know, I try to have fun at work, and I think that's the reason why customers.
You know, maybe it'd be fun to be, model Chris the comedian.
Yeah, well, we did our funny Halloween video. People liked that. I don't know if you checked it out yet.
I did. And you know what? Hats off to you guys over there, Dustin and Maria. And who is the...
The horse?
No, who works with you guys? The
Doug.
No, not Doug.
Oh, Odyssey
Jordan.
Narratives. Yeah.
Yeah, those guys are great. And
oh, yeah.
And that was clever, you know, and I think that's funny.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because you were dressed up like Mario.
Luigi.
Luigi.
Yeah.
And who were the other characters?
Just a... Unicorn and a countess, you know, female vampire. And
yeah.
And he was, Dustin was Elvis. Just a random hodgepodge of characters.
Well, Dustin, I've known Dustin a long time. He's always been a character.
Yeah.
He is, like, he could probably do stand-up.
He had fun with it.
Yeah. I think Halloween might be his favorite time of year.
Yeah. It was fun. Helvis. It was like an evil Elvis type character.
Helvis?
Yeah. We got some views on that.
I'm sure it was like funny.
Close to 3,000 views or something.
Crazy. Did you just put it on Facebook?
Yeah.
Did you put it under the Model Mortgage page, or did you share it to your own page?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think 18 shares or something like that we got. We're trying to get the brand out.
Well, it's awesome because, you know, we need to all lighten up.
For sure.
I mean, too stressed out.
Yeah, no.
Everyone needs to lighten up a bit.
I'm zen now.
You're centered?
I used to be all amped up about this and that, but I just, whatever.
How's it
I don't being care what people think anymore, and you have to drop that if you're going to do what we do.
How is it being a dad?
It's the best. It's the best. Just watching what my parents did for me through my eyes. It's so cool.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you have three kids, right?
I have three.
Yeah.
They're a comedy session every day.
Yeah, that's what I give it my all, though, with being a dad. I mean, I try to just make my kid laugh, basically. That's what I love doing.
I make pancakes for my two little ones every morning. And so the first pancake is usually lighter in color.
Right.
And the second one's a little darker. And my son's like, can I have the light pancake? It's like, what's the difference? I want the light pancake. And then Teresa's like, well, I want the light pancake. I'm like, so then I have to start.
You don't know what you want.
Mondays are for Sam's light pancake. Tuesdays are for Teresa's light pancake. It's like, you know.
Why do you care?
I don't know why they care, but they do. And it's serious. I mean, like, if it's not taken care of, if there isn't a solution, it's a meltdown. So I guess the point is, it's like every day is a comedy act with those people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Daddy, I don't want syrup. It gives me a stomach ache. I'm like, syrup? It's delicious.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, so, well, and you'll find out. But I think, you know, as our kids grow and we get to raise them, it's just, you know, life comes back around. It's that full circle of life. And sometimes it just, I laugh.
Yep.
I'm like, this is, well, and I remember as a kid being, and eating breakfast in bed. That's how freaking a mess I was. And, you know, no disrespect to my parents, but I don't know why they let me do that.
Yeah, I think I used to do that when I was a kid, too.
Sit in bed and eat cereal?
Or I would eat chips in bed. I would eat, you know, whatever. It didn't matter. It doesn't have to be the breakfast.
Right. And but as a parent, you're not letting your kid eat chips in bed.
That sounds awful. I would never do that anymore.
Right. So I was like, what were they thinking?
Yeah.
But, you know, and I think, you know, every situation pops up and you handle it. And I guess maybe I couldn't get out of bed when I was in sixth grade. So my mom said, here, eat the damn cereal in bed.
We turned out all right. It didn't have a negative effect.
We definitely turned out all right. Do you, how old's your boy?
16 months.
16 months.
Yeah.
So he's a year.
Yeah,
when do we stop doing months?
Once they turn two, I believe.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay. So just after 23 months?
Yeah. 23 months is it. And then I'm going to two after that.
See, that's a comedy skit right there.
Yeah.
Hey, when do you stop going in months?
Exactly. And with that accent, too.
25 months. My kid is 25 months.
My kid is 315 months.
Maybe when you can stop breastfeeding. Maybe that's when they...
What am I? 30? I'll be 31. So that's 372 months.
Nice.
This month.
You look good for 372 months.
Thank you.
I am so old, I can't even do the math. 51.
I'm on the wrong side of 360 months.
Ooh. Well, I see people that will give, like, their sobriety count in days. 24,000 days.
That makes life go by so slow, I bet.
I think Matt had, like, 24,000 days. It's like, wow.
You can't quit after that. I know some people reset after that. That's a long time.
Well, and I think it's a lot like everything in life. You do something, you know, you get sober, and then you become a comedian. And then, you know, whether it's you fantasize of stardom or, you know, blowing the crowd away or being the most profound comic ever. And then you're doing it. And now your motivation is now you want to bomb. Now you're more interested. Like, look, I didn't burst into flames. What's next? So you want to try bombing?
It just feels cool. I don't know, the excitement, even the negative, I think would be interesting to know what it was like.
And then your third is going to be your comeback.
Yeah.
So it's like everything, every step is a different motivator.
I'm probably just saying that. I mean, I'm sure I'll prepare, but I won't obsess over every single little.
Well, you did. Thing. You did the hard part.
Yeah.
The first one is the hard part. I don't think I could do the first one. I'd just be. I don't know. So scary. Because then I think if I have to do it kind of the right way, like you're doing it, where you're really writing down a routine, to me, that I'm not sure I'm funny there.
Well, you got to record it and record yourself and listen to yourself. And that's what was a little uncomfortable at first. I was like, man, this is weird listening to myself by myself recording. And then, you know, I would listen to it and I'd critique, and then I might share it with my wife or my friends. And then they give feedback, and then I go from there.
You know, I have a new space that we're going to start recording podcasts in down there.
Oh, really?
Down at the corner.
Really?
Yep. And it's a big room. I'm going to call it the Pod Cafe.
Okay, cool.
And, you know, maybe we could do your act down there, and, you know, we could record it and, you know, really fine-tune it.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that sounds fun.
Get a few people, some test folks, a test crowd.
That's the pressure right there.
A laugh track. A
special, yeah.
Carlos was here the other day, he told a joke, and I was like, that wasn't a joke, that was a story. But then he's like, well, that's what jokes are, they're stories.
Well, some comedians do that, like they'll go up and tell life stories, but I think it's, I didn't want to do that as much. I wanted to come up with just like material, not like, hey, this happened one time, how funny was that, you know? Some people do that.
I did tell you my one joke.
Let's hear it.
My pharmacist joke.
Let's hear it again, and I'm not going to laugh.
All right, this is going to be my bomb.
I won't laugh.
I'm going to bomb right here. Okay, right, here we go. So a kid goes into a pharmacy.
Okay.
To talk to the pharmacist. He says, hey, good morning. So what can I do for you? And he goes, well, you know, I think tonight's the night. You know, my girlfriend and I have been dating a while. And, you know, we're ready. I kick the head like that? Yep. You know, that's part of my act.
Okay.
All right.
So you act like you have slight Tourette's.
Slight and dry.
Yep.
You know, and that's really, I feel like that's the key.
You're it's ready.
The dryness and the weight.
Yep.
It's the bait and the weight.
That's right. It's all about it's all about delivery.
Right. So, walks in, he says, hey, you know, tonight's the night. And he goes, all right, well, what do you need? He says, I need some, see the weight? You're waiting.
I'm anticipating now.
So he goes, all right, I think I need some prophylactics. And he goes, oh, geez, wow, all right, that's a big step. So what do you think you're going to need, you know? And he goes, well, seven. Seven? He's like, okay. So he bags him up seven of his finest prophylactics, and off little Johnny goes. That night, he's having dinner with, you know, little Susie over at Susie's parents. So they're sitting around the table, and little Susie's dad, he's saying the prayer, dear Lord, you know, thank you for this meal. Bless us. Amen. And little Johnny, he continues to pray. And little Susie leans over and she goes, I didn't know you were so religious. And he goes, well, I didn't know your father was a pharmacist.
Oh, God. So the dad is the one he got the...
Yes.
Oh, God. It's uncomfortable.
That's good, though.
It's pretty good.
You can use that.
Yeah. I don't use other people's stuff.
Why?
Because it's got to be... Oh. I got to do it my way. Just stuff that's original. Well. I've had people tell me that before. Use this, use this. That's like...
No, I said you can. I did not tell you to.
Sure, but I've had people say you should.
But if shit gets real, if you get in the sticky stuff, you got to pull out.
I have one story that I might make an exception for, if you want to hear it.
Yeah, I do. That's why you're here, man. I want to hear your story.
When I was like 21.
Okay.
I'm 30.
I'm already laughing.
31 now.
Okay.
I was so socially uncomfortable.
Pull the microphone up.
I had terrible anxiety, like socially. I would reject dates. I would not show up to things because it was that bad. So I had a job interview for a really good job. And this kid I knew, he was like, hey man, I know you're nervous. He's like, have you ever tried like Xanax? And I'm like, no, how does that work? He's like, it makes you really calm. He's like, you should try it before the interview.
Mm.
And I was like, okay, yeah, sure. If you think it's going to help. So he gives me two big long bars, right? And you can break them in half.
Xanny bars?
Exactly. I didn't know anything about it at the time. So he's like, just take half of one before your interview. So I took half of one before.
I think there's three lines on it, right?
I don't remember. It was a long time
ago. I think you half it and half that.
Anyway, so I'm a quarter of what he gave me in getting into the shower to get ready. Then I'm still sweating bullets on the way to the interview. So there goes another half. Then it was like a 40-minute drive. So 10 minutes, I'm still just, my heart's racing. There goes another one. And right before I went in the interview for good measure, down the hatch is the last
one. Oh, my God,
one.
You took a whole Xanny bar?
Two.
Oh, my God.
So I go in the interview, and I'm starting to feel a little bit better. I'm still very nervous. And the person that got me was like, look, it's going to be 4 30-minute interviews with 4 different people. And I was like, oh boy, this, I hope I can make it through this. So the first 30-minute interview, I'm still nervous. I'm, you know, talking very quickly. This is going to be, I can be a good fit for the company. Second interview turns into complete confidence. Oh, I got this. I can be a great fit here. Then the third interview, I'm just very calm, mellow, like, oh, whatever, you know. And then the last interview, I remember the like, she's like, are you tired? I kept going, like I was yawning.
Oh, my God.
So by the time I got out of there, I just couldn't even keep my eyes open. And what's funny about that is the 4 of them had to convene after meeting with me, and they had 4 different personalities that they were probably, oh, he seemed really nervous. And the other one's like, he seemed really calm.
He's excitable. He was sleeping.
He was literally yawning.
Is that a true story?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
It was, it's outrageous.
Well, that's, I don't know why. Yeah, well, I'm sure you learned a great lesson there.
Well, I went to sleep for about 16 hours after the interview. I woke up, I was like, I don't think I got that job.
Did you get the job?
No, I didn't.
Was it based on your interview?
I don't know. It's funny.
Was it based on one of your
internal interview, meaning I still worked at the same company.
Yeah.
So I had, I don't know how they reacted. I mean, I kept my current job, but to this day, I don't know if they knew anything or whatever, but.
It's funny, as a guy that today is sober, I really can't take anything. Like I mean, even cold medicine. I just got sick and I proudly say I didn't take any medicine.
Wow.
I know. Just getting old. I'm just like, ah.
Yeah, well, cold. I mean, that was 10 years ago. And I mean, obviously I don't feel nervous anymore.
You just, don't have to explain.
But I
druggy. Drug addict.
Totally. And drunk. I just think that's a drug funny story, you know, because it's true. And they probably thought I was insane.
Yeah. Well, just the idea of going to a job interview is insane these days.
Yeah.
So what, did you figure out where you're going to be at in Ocean City?
I mean, look.
Let's promote this thing. Because what?
Let's see here.
Because I want to put the word out that you want to bomb.
Yeah.
So if anybody listens to this podcast and is going to go, don't laugh. Let's see. This guy go into Bombtown, USA.
Yep.
And struggle.
All right. So I'm going to the one at the Lucky Anchor in Ocean City.
The Lucky Anchor.
Yep. I'm going to go up there.
Ocean
and bomb.
City.
So next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday at?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Ooh, that's an earlier time slot.
I know. Last time was 10 o'clock. I was so tired. I was like, man, what are you starting it so late for? I like one that's a little bit earlier.
So do you think that the 8 o'clock is going to give you a little bit more opportunity? They might be a little more, their expectations
Definitely.
Might be higher.
Yeah. That's what we want.
Now I feel like I need to go.
Well.
Well, listen, Christian, I think you're a great guy. I've always thought you're a great guy. We've always gotten along, and I love the comedic side of you. I also love the, you know, when I, you know, we'll end up outside and we all kind of come together and chat.
Right.
And you know, the place where I work is a place where I spend a lot of time, and it's nice that, you know, you're over here and I get to chat with you, and it's like
fun.
Going somewhere and then having friends.
Yeah.
And I always appreciate that, and I think you're a go-getter, and I love your spirit, and I love your, you know, the Halloween stuff and dressing up and just having fun.
Gotta have fun.
You gotta have fun. And yeah. And as a new father, and we're friends on Facebook, and you know, I don't like when, or I shouldn't say I don't like, it's fun to see someone that's not just sticking to one certain path. You know, you're doing this, you're doing that, you know, you're trying everything, and you know, you're just going for it.
The point of this is to, the main reason I did this is because a lot of other people, you know, I want them to do it too, because I feel like I went to Catholic school. I feel like when you just get out of confession when you're a kid, you feel better, and it felt like that, you know, to do it. And I want other people to, even if it doesn't work out long term, just do something.
So
get
is
out of
that,
your comfort zone.
So your only goal is to just inspire others to try it.
Right now, I mean, I'll keep going because I like it, but I don't have any long term.
Could you see yourself going like out on the road? And I mean, you know, like, listen, you know, you
would have
a long
to be later
to go,
on
but,
in life.
Right, but
because of my kid.
Would you love that?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't need to happen for me to feel a certain level of success.
Why don't you start a podcast?
I don't know. I think
why don't you bring comedians?
I think I'll let you do that. You're so good at it. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I don't know if I'm good at it, but I'm just like you. I'm just going for it. I'm waiting to bomb. Yeah. You know, you just keep going and
maybe you won't.
Well, yeah. I'm not gonna bomb because we're, you know, I own it.
Yeah. Well, Pete, you keep the door, you know, you keep people coming in. So
thank you.
You're welcome.
Wednesday, Ocean City, 8 o'clock at the
Lucky Anchor.
Lucky Anchor. And if you need a mortgage or a refi.
That's right. Don't forget to friend me on Facebook. We can talk about comedy or mortgages.
Yep.
Or both.
And your company, Model Mortgage, is now a sponsor of the Rehoboth Social Podcast. Which
we sure are. We gave you $10,000. What is that? Oh, it's
$100. $100.
Is it $10,000 or
$100? It's $100.
All right, it's $100.
But you know what?
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
It says that, you know, you believe in us. You believe in us a little.
We sure do.
Well, we're going to keep having you proud. All right, brother. Listen, come on anytime. Maybe we'll have you back on after
I bomb.
After you bomb, and we'll check your social status after that.
Yes,
and make sure
will.
You still haven't lost your mind.
Lost all my dignity at that point.
I'll have to ease you down off the building edge, and
I'll be off the wagon after that.
So. Oh, you're going to start drinking again?
I'm sure I will.
Will you drink that night?
No.
Would you do a set drunk, I guess?
Well, my last one, I had a couple, like 3 beers, but no, I wouldn't go drunk.
You wouldn't?
Nah.
Do you...
get out of control.
That doesn't work out too well for people, does it?
I don't think so.
All right, brother. Well, listen, thank you, Christian. Find Christian on his Facebook page and send him some jokes.
Yeah, send me some jokes.
All right, brother. Take it easy.
Right, bye.
Bye.